I want to look at a couple of scriptures quickly because I really want us to understand something. This, when this hit home for me, it changed everything. In John chapter 4, Jesus is meeting the woman at the well. We know the story. And she's asking questions. I'm not going to get into that, but I want to look at this, something that Jesus says in verse 24. He's saying, she says, talking about worship on this mountain or that mountain, and there's whole reasons for that. I can go into that. But Jesus says, you worship what you do not know. We worship what, this is a woman saying, Jesus said, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. And then he says this. He says, God is spirit. Depending on your translation, it says either God is spirit or God is a spirit. Many times we look at God, or we have this idea of God or this concept about God, and it's not defined. Jesus defines God for us here. He says God is a spirit. God is a spiritual being, a spirit being. That's why the Holy Ghost is called the Holy Ghost. Okay? God is not a force. God is not an energy. God is not a philosophy. God is not some impersonal mass. God is a spirit with personality, a spirit with intention, and his ways are much higher than our ways. His thoughts are much higher than our thoughts. If you really want to get with it, he's an alien, okay? Now, don't quote that. I shouldn't have said that, okay? But God is not, God created this world, okay? And we don't know, you know, so if you look at that concept, God is a spirit being. That's what Jesus said he was. All right, now look in Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says this, without faith, it is impossible to please him, God, the spirit being. For he who comes to God, this spiritual being, must believe that he is. Must believe that he exists. The first step in faith is actually believing that there is a spiritual being that we look at and call God. Because if you don't believe that he is, that's going to determine everything about your life. But if you do believe that he is, that is also going to determine everything about your life. You have to believe that he is, and it says, and is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. See, when we talk about seeking God, we're talking about seeking a relationship with a spirit being that is our creator and that desires a relationship with us. So we can have a literal, living, breathing relationship with God because he's living. I don't know whether he's breathing. Okay, I don't know that he has lungs. But we're told different things in the Bible about God. Must believe that he is, that he rewards those who diligently seek him. What does he reward us with? He rewards us with a deeper relationship, a deeper understanding of who he is. Now the way, I got my notes on my phone, by the way. What he promises is, turn to 1 John 4. 1 John 4, starting in verse 13, it says, by this we know that we abide in him and he is in us. By this we know that this spirit being, somehow we would say through the Holy Spirit, a part of him that is extended to us as human beings. He abides in us and we abide in him. In other words, there is an all-consuming relationship that begins to happen where we lose ourselves in the presence of God and God abides within us by the Holy Spirit. How many of you realize that our lives are not our own? That if you and I have committed our life to the Lord Jesus Christ, we've received salvation. We receive the Spirit of the living God in us, but he makes a claim on our lives that says your life is no longer your own to do with what you want. I'm giving you eternal life. I'm giving you abundant life. I am giving you life that you've never experienced before. But here's the deal. You bring your life and you give it to me. This is not just saying words. This is not just praying a prayer. This is saying, I am going to give my life to you, and now you, God, the spirit being, are my Lord. You are my master. But see, we serve a very benevolent God. We serve a father that is a good, good father. We serve a being that has our best interest at heart, that loves us even more than we love ourselves and wants what's best for us. And so he says, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. He's given us a part of himself to dwell within us. And as we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world, that whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. That's the door. If you confess that Jesus is the Son of God, if you say, I believe, you have to believe that he is a rewarder. The gateway is that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is your Lord, he is your Savior, and you've received him as such, you've given your life to him. Then he says, I will come and abide within you. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. It's not about control. It's not about somehow oppression or, you know, somehow you have to laboring. No, it's a family. It's based in love. It's something that Jesus and obedience to God has done for us. That is the gateway that we can come into relationship with this spirit being. And you and I can talk with God. We can walk with God. He wants that for us. The Bible says God is not very far off from any of you. Sometimes it's just a matter of focusing on him and letting him speak to us. How many of you have expectations? You know, you've heard testimonies and stories about how God speaks and what he does for other people. And you say, man, God, I wish you would do that for me. But just like Nancy said, God comes to each of us individually and uniquely. And yes, sometimes there's similarities. But your walk with God, my walk with God, is going to maybe look a little different. You know, I've heard people, God woke me up at 3:00 in the morning. I prayed for 3 hours, went back to sleep for 45 minutes, and I'm up for the day. I'm like, hallelujah. I'm glad God deals with you in that way and not me. Because you know what? If I'm sleeping good at 3:00 in the morning, don't wake me up. And if God wants to wake me up, I'm his, so he can do that. But you know, we're different. You know, people talk about sometimes, they say, well, my relationship with God, you know, I spend an hour a day in prayer and in Bible study, and it's wonderful. That's good. Some people have, you know, when I just kind of talk with God all the time on the fly as I'm going, and God reveals things to me, you know, and to sit down for an hour, I just get antsy. I mean, you know, but let me mow the grass, and I'm, you know, that's all I'm doing, and, you know, I'm focused on that, and all of a sudden God begins to speak to me, you know, and they prophesy to the lawn. I mean, you know, it's amazing. Well, okay. God comes to each of us in ways, a lion, a lamb, however it is that makes sense to each one of us. I don't know about that. I haven't heard about that one. But you know, he's unique for us. But it's all born in love, and it's all based on an understanding that this spiritual being, God, that we know of as God, wants to have a relationship with us and enjoys our praise and our worship. He's surrounded himself in the heavenlies with worship. Just read the first part of Revelation. It's a worship book. Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto you. Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto you. And 24 elders cast their crowns before him. And you know, it says this is going on continually. So they must have to go pick up their crowns so they can cast them down again. And go pick them up so they can cast them down again. And it's interesting because you see this blessing and honor and glory and power be unto you. And evidently, God doesn't get tired of hearing the same things over and over and over and over and over and over again, because he's been hearing them for eternity and will hear them for eternity, and he's just good with it. You know, he's better with that than we are. We sing a song, sing a chorus twice, and it's like, let's move on. And there's a time and a place to move on. I'm not saying that at all. But see, it's not about singing a song. It's about becoming lost in worship so that God is glorified. The goal isn't to sing a song. The goal is to worship this spiritual being called God that the Bible says in Psalms 22:3 will inhabit our praise, will come and sit among us as we praise him. Why would he come and he sit among us? One, because he's attracted by our praise. Two, because our hearts are open. We believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And part of seeking him is worshiping him and praying to him and actually acting like he is real and actually addressing him. And instead of talking all about him or learning about him, the best way to learn about Jesus is to look at him and to actually commune with him. The Bible is God's word. No problem with that. The Bible is inerrant in all its ways, but the Bible points to this spiritual being. The Bible in and of itself is not an end to itself. The Bible points to Jesus being the Son of God, points to a relationship with this spiritual being we call God. Read your Bible, learn your Bible, memorize your Bible. Yes, yes, yes. Why? It's not an end unto itself. It's not about the knowledge. It's about what the word points to, the living word, not just the written word. The Apostle John calls Jesus the word became flesh. The word, this spiritual being, became flesh, became humanity to dwell among us, to identify with us. So that he experienced everything that you and I experienced. And he goes to the cross because he loves us. He died for you. He died for me. He was resurrected so that we could also be resurrected with him. So that you and I can have that life, that new life. It says in 1 John 5, verse 20, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, and his Son, Jesus the Christ. This is the true God, the eternal life. He says we are in him. He is in us. And he's given us an understanding. Even as we're sitting here, even as you're watching, you may not, I may not understand everything about this, but there is a sense inside of us because the Holy Spirit is working in us that, you know, there's something true about this. There's something right about this. You may not understand it all, but there are very few relationships, if any, that we understand everything about the person that we're in relationship with. I'm still learning things about my wife of 39 years. She's still amazing. How much more? We're not gonna understand God completely. You can't just reduce God to three principles and two self-help books. God is God, and he asks us to come to him, to believe in him, to receive from him. I want to introduce you. I want to introduce you to Jesus this morning. He really does desire to have a relationship with you. So I want you to close your eyes, and we're just going to sit here a little bit. I thank you for who you are. I thank you, Lord, that you died for my sin, for our sin. I thank you, Lord, that you defeated death, and I thank you, Lord, you were resurrected to new life. I thank you, Lord, that you defeated the armies of hell, that we could be free. Lord Jesus, you are the Son of God. You are Lord. And I ask this morning that you would reveal yourself to each and every person in this building, each and every person looking and viewing online. So what I want you to do is just in this moment, if you're listening to the sound of my voice, just between you and God, say, God, would you show me? Show me who you are. Show me where you are, whatever is appropriate. Don't overthink this. Just receive. Holy Spirit, come. Reveal the Son. Holy Spirit, come. Reveal the Son. Holy Spirit, come. Reveal the Son of the living God. Yes, Jesus. The second thing is you are beholding the Lord, whatever he's doing. You're probably irritated at me for talking right now. But ask him,
Is there something you would want to say to me? Something you want me to know? And just listen. Jesus, we honor you this morning. We've come to meet with you, Father. Oh, Lord Jesus. Minister your life. Lord, whatever is needed into each and every situation. As you're beholding the beauty of the Lord Jesus, maybe you feel or sense that you need to somehow pray with someone, or you're undone a little bit. There's something that the Lord put his finger on that you didn't expect. You haven't confessed it to anybody. But you know that the Lord wants you to. Jesus is asking you to bring that to the cross. If you need to bring something to the cross this morning, to lay at the feet of Jesus, I invite you to do something very bold and just come to the front and kneel. I'm going to ask Ricardo and Kendra if you will pray with those people. Nancy, if you'll pray if there are people. It takes a courage to come. And sometimes we need to come in order to get release. And sometimes it's something that God does just with us. But the key is not to decide yourself what you need to do, but to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Because I'm yours.